which means to wake up. And thus, Buddhism is the philosophy of awakening. This philosophy has its origins in the experience of the man Siddhartha Gautama, known as the Buddha, who was himself awakened at the age of 36. Buddhism is now 2,500 years old and has about 300 million followers worldwide. Until 100 years ago, which time he traveled all over northern India, teaching others what he had discovered. His compassion and patience were legendary, and he made thousands of followers. In his 80th year, old and sick, but still happy and at peace, he finally died. Wasn't it irresponsible for the Buddha to walk out on his wife and child? It couldn't have been an easy thing for the Buddha to leave his family. He must have worried and hesitated for a long time before he finally left. But he had a choice, dedicating himself to his family or dedicating himself to the whole world. In the end, his great compassion made him give himself to the whole world, and the whole world still benefits from his sacrifice. This was not irresponsible. It was perhaps the most significant sacrifice ever made. The Buddha is dead, so how can he help us? Faraday, who discovered electricity, is dead, but what he discovered still helps us. Louis Pasteur, who discovered the cures for so many diseases, is dead, but his medical discoveries still save lives. Leonardo da Vinci, who created masterpieces of art instead, but what he created can still uplift and give joy. Noble men and heroes may have been dead for centuries, but when we read of their deeds and achievements, we can still be inspired to act as they did. Yes, the Buddha is dead, but 2,500 years later, his teachings still help people. His example still inspires people. His words still change lives. Only a Buddha could have such power centuries after his death. Was the Buddha a god? No, he was not. He did not claim that he was a god, a child of a god, or even the messenger of a god. He was a man who perfected himself and taught that if we followed his example, we could perfect ourselves also. If the Buddha was not a god, then why do people worship him? Different types of worship. When someone worships a god, they praise and honor him or her, make offerings and ask for favors, believing that the god will hear their praise, receive their offerings, and answer their prayers. Buddhists do not indulge in this kind of worship. The other kind of worship is when we show respect to someone or something we admire. When a teacher walks into the room and we stand up, when we meet a dignitary, we shake hands. When the national anthem is played, we salute. These are all gestures of respect and worship and indicate our admiration for persons or things. This is the type of worship Buddhists practice. The statue of the Buddha with its hands resting gently in its lap and its compassionate smile reminds us to strive to develop peace and love within ourselves. The perfume of incense reminds us of the pervading influence of virtue. The lamp reminds us of the light of knowledge. The flowers, which soon fade and die, remind us of impermanence. When we bow, we express our gratitude to the Buddha for what his teachings have given us. This is the nature of Buddhist worship. But I have heard people say that Buddhists worship idols. Such statements only reflect the misunderstanding of the persons who make them. The dictionary defines an idol as an image or statue worshipped as a god. As we have seen, Buddhists do not believe that the Buddha was a god. So how could they possibly believe that a piece of wood or metal is a god? All religions use symbols to express various concepts. In Taoism, the yin-yang is used to symbolize the harmony between yin and distance. In Sikhism, the sword is used to symbolize spiritual struggle. In Christianity, the fist is used to symbolize Christ's presence. And the cross is used to symbolize his sacrifice. And in Buddhism, the statue of the Buddha is used to symbolize human perfection. The statue of the Buddha also reminds us of the human dimension in Buddhist teaching. The fact that Buddhism is man-centered, not God-centered. That we must look within, not without, to find perfection and understanding. So to say that Buddhists worship idols is not correct. people burn paper money and do all kinds of strange things in Buddhist temples. Many things seem strange to us if we don't understand them. Rather than dismiss such things as strange, we should strive to find out their meaning. However, it is true that Buddhist practice sometimes has its origin in popular superstition and misunderstanding, rather than the teachings of the Buddha. And such misunderstandings are not found in Buddhism alone, but arise in all religions from time to time. The Buddha taught with clarity and in detail, and if some fail to understand fully, the Buddha cannot be blamed. There is a saying, if a man suffering from a disease does not seek treatment, even when there is a physician at hand, it is not the fault of that physician. In the same way, if a man is oppressed and tormented by the disease of the defilements, but does not seek the help of the Buddha, that is not the Buddha's fault. Nor should Buddhism or any religion be judged by those who don't practice it properly. If you wish to know the true teachings of Buddhism, read the Buddha's words or speak to those who understand them properly. If Buddhism is so good, why are some Buddhist countries poor? If by poor you mean economically poor, then it is true that some Buddhist countries are poor. But if by poor you mean a poor quality of life, then perhaps some Buddhist countries are quite rich. America, for example, an economically rich and powerful country, but the crime rate is one of the highest in the world. Millions of old people are neglected by their children, and die of loneliness in old people's homes. Domestic violence and child abuse are major problems. One in three marriages end in divorce. Thank you. They believe that it should be done quietly and without self-promotion. And you don't hear so much about the church. Why are there so many different types of Buddhism? There are many different types of Shiva. To the other, what Before we answer that question, it would be best to define the word science. Science, according to the dictionary, is knowledge which can be made into a system, which depends upon seeing and testing facts, and stating general natural laws. A branch of such knowledge, anything that can be studied extensively. Aspects of Buddhism that would not fit into this definition, but the central teachings of Buddhism, the Four Noble Truths, most certainly would. Suffering, the first noble truth, is an experience which can be defined, experienced, and measured. The second noble truth states that suffering has a natural cause. Which likewise can be defined, experienced, and measured. No attempt is made to explain suffering in terms of a metaphysical concept. Suffering is ended according to the third noble truth, not by the luck of my story making, by faith or prayers, but simply by removing its cause. This is axiomatic. The fourth noble truth, the way to end suffering once again, has nothing to do with metaphysics, but depends on behaving in specific ways. And once again, behavior is open to testing. Buddhism dispenses with the concept of supreme being. It's the science. Explains the origins and workings of the universe in terms of natural law. All of this certainly exhibits a scientific spirit. Once again, the Buddhist constant advice that we should not blindly believe, but rather question, examine, inquire, and rely on our own experience has a definite scientific ring to it. Stems. Do not go by revelation or tradition. Do not go by rumor or the sacred scriptures. Do not go by hearsay or logic. Do not go by bias towards emotion or by another person's seeming ability. And do not go by the idea he is our teacher. But when you yourself know that things go. Four because there are four of them. They are called noble because the noble one who understands them, and they are called truths, because corresponding with reality, they are true. What is the first noble truth? The first noble truth is that life is suffering. To live, you must suffer. It is impossible to live without experiencing some kind of suffering. We have to endure physical suffering like sickness, injury, tiredness, old age, and eventually death. And we have to endure psychological suffering like loneliness, frustrations, fear, embarrassment, disappointment, anger, etc. Is the most pessimistic? The dictionary defines pessimism as the habit of thinking that whatever will happen will be bad, or the belief that evil is more powerful than good. Buddhism teaches neither of these ideas, nor does it deny that happiness exists. It simply that to live is to experience physical and psychological suffering, which is a statement so true and so obvious that it cannot be denied. The central concept of most religions is a myth, a legend, or a belief that is difficult or impossible to verify. Buddhism starts with an experience, an irrefutable fact, a thing we all know, and all have experienced, and that all are striving to overcome. Thus, Buddhism is the only truly universal religion, because it is right to the core of every individual human being's concern, suffering and how to avoid it.